Welcome back, everybody. I hope that you guys got a chance to listen to the show we put out yesterday, kind of talking about the start of this project and how it began for us and the first interview that we got under our belt. I think it was a pretty successful first day, but moving into the second day, God keeps showing us and blessing us in different ways with more people and more different things that he puts in our path. So today we actually got to be with Bruce Malone, who's somebody we had on the dig in the past. You should go listen to that episode. Bruce is such a wealth of knowledge. Will really, really test your mind and really stretch your mind and get you to think, and puts down some amazing truth and some amazing facts that will stretch your mind a bit. And then we got also to talk with Jim Fox, or Jim Hoff today. Jim Hoff was awesome and kind of went through a presentation that was very similar to our dad's presentation, where he would kind of truly go through what are the chances. And when he heard us say that yesterday, he got really excited and wanted to show us. And so we got a chance to record that presentation today, and some of that you guys will see in the future. And that'll be another one of those things that the people that have helped us, you know, through this and to make this happen, you know, we'll have access to some of those full interviews here in the future too. So when we get that stuff and we have all that access, we'll reach out to you guys that are out there. But in the meantime, I wanted to just get everybody's thoughts and opinions on the day today. You want to start us out, Mom?
Yes, she does.
It was another just blessed day with Bruce Malone, and he also was someone who knew my husband and did presentations with him years ago, and he is a retired Dow engineer and just brings a whole wealth of knowledge, and his approach to the evidence that's out there. It's just amazing, and you'll be blown away by his presentation.
Mike.
It's really kind of funny, because a lot of these guys, I think both of them, correct me if Dr. Baugh didn't say that, but both of them were evolutionists at one point in time. Like, they were just solid, and then the people that are the strongest on the creation side seem to be the ones that didn't grow up in this. They didn't have this this opportunity to be, you know, a Christian from essentially birth. So it's just amazing to see that you know, the strongest proponents are the people that have been on the other side. And listening to both of them talk, especially these last 2 days, it's been really eye-opening, especially just showing me the things I take for granted just because I grew up in it. And I don't know, it's just, I wish we could talk to everybody there though too. And I know there's so much going on at that place, and there's so many people, and I'm starting to bunny trail for all, you know, like talking to Julie, one of the scientists there, and everything about their biosphere and stuff. Like, it's really cool. And obviously can make about 2,500 documentaries on what's going on here, but it's just listening to these guys over the last 2 days puts so much on your plate to just process and think about. It's going to be a really, really cool thing to sit down and listen to the edited version.
We had some technical scares today.
leave it to the expert over here to bring in the...
Yeah, so the conversation was good. Me and Mike spent most of our time very tense behind the camera, hoping that it would switch to an imaginary memory card that we didn't put in, and it didn't. So, you know, we had a couple scares today, technical scares, but I think all in all, we got two really cool angles. We still made it through everything. It was a cool day. I was probably less involved with the conversation today and more involved with making sure the shots were looking good and watching people walk in the back of them at times and cringe up. And I'm going to have to book a massage when we get back home just from today. My shoulders feel tense, but it was another awesome day out there. And you get to just, I think the whole trip's just made me think about things in a way that I never have, you know. Even we mentioned today, you know, you made the joke about why'd you bring the two mosquitoes on the ark. And, you know, he explained they weren't on the ark. And before the flood, they probably had a very specific good purpose, you know, and whatever they've turned into now. I've never thought about things in that way, that not just did humankind change after the flood, but literally everything changed. Plants changed, animals changed, humans changed, everything as we knew it changed. And I've never considered it on that scope. So that was cool to, you know, just got me thinking in different ways.
I mean, that's the whole thing, right? We dive into this and we see people that have spent their lives researching this. And I think what you said, Mike, is one of the coolest things, is when people come from an evolutionary background and they're really looking at the evidence, that the people who finally break that down and they put aside their biases they've been taught since they were kids, and they put aside all the stuff that they've been taught as fact. And, you know, they go back and to the ground level and look through the true evidence, that they are now the proponents, the foremost proponents of the creation side, which is the most amazing thing to me, because you know what? They've gone through and combed through all the evidence that's out there. They've worked through all these different experiments, all these different things that they've put together in these labs, and, you know, to the point where we're, you know, have found, you know, soft tissue of dinosaur that still has the elasticity to it. Like, if it was 65 million years old, that couldn't happen. There's just so many different things that they're doing that they've seen that have taken them from the total. Oh, there's some deer right outside our window, just looking right at us. There's two of them looking right in the window, but hey.
But they're very interested in what you have to
they
say.
They are very interested. They're it. Look, we have our first audience in person.
You know, on the lines of evolution, that's kind of how I felt today when people were walking behind the cameras. I felt like that deer, so maybe we share some similarities.
But I just, I have to say, I'm sorry after that distraction, but I have to say it is so cool that you see those people that were so entrenched in one side of the, on one side of the debate, when they actually look at the true evidence that's out there, they see all the flaws in the evolutionary theory and they come full circle. And now they're the biggest proponents of the creation side of this.
It really feels like it's probably almost more, I don't want to say more evidence. Obviously the evidence is there and we, you know, you can see it in everything and you're going to see it in this documentary, but like, that's a very strong argument, saying that the people that were pushing for this other theory, going every wall they ran into, just you eliminate the impossible and whatever's left is what was probable. That's what you have, and that's what they've done, is essentially Sherlock Holmes the you know, creation versus evolution, and they came to this conclusion. The data points to it. And if people that were such a high proponent on one side are all jumping ship and going to the other, that's pretty telling.
And that's what they've devoted their life to.
Exactly. Like, it's not even just jumping ship. Yeah, I'll go with that. It is just full on, this is what we do now.
Well, it's not really anything new though. I mean, that's how Paul was too. You know, so I think that God uses us sometimes, maybe even takes us all the way to one way. Just so we can be stronger for the other way. You know, a lot of my convictions, you know, spending most of my life not believing in anything really, that's what makes my conviction so strong now. You know, is because you've seen it, you've seen both sides of it. You know, it's kind of like you always say, you know, we all have a voice for each other, right? And not all of us are meant to reach certain people. And, you know, if who can talk to a drug addict about the other side of it except for someone that has been a drug addict, you know? So it's cool that it works that way, but it's not anything new. I think that that's even just biblical, of like taking people that were so far on one side of the opposite and then showing them the truth. They will never stop telling people about it because they've already been to the other side of that. And you know, most of the time you don't want to go back to that place. I don't know many people that would choose that.
It's pretty amazing.
That was Dr. Baugh yesterday, I think, talking about how he was taught the old earth creationist view in Sunday school.
Yeah.
And, you know, it made me think about, I think so many times we want to put what we know is true, but we want to blend it with what's acceptable to science, to the world, you know? And he realized that wasn't true. That wasn't true when he got more into the science of it.
Just the true evidence that you see. He talked about that with the, and there was a picture of that, and we'll post that as well. We're going to eventually make a Facebook page just for this, where we can post some things and everybody can follow a little closer as we're going. And we'll put some shorts and some reels and stuff up there for you guys. But maybe we'll do that tonight or tomorrow. We'll see if we can, you know, jump on that. But I lost my train of thought now.
That was my fault. I was just making sure the computer was still recording.
It's still recording.
Because that's what my job is. And the screen was blank. Sorry.
Well, before the reels.
Sorry, audience.
About? You were talking about putting up a... Oh, before that. You were talking about the old... Well, she was talking about the old creation viewpoint. So, like, not young Earth, but old Earth creation.
I guess the gist of it being so much of the... When we look at that, and we talked about it today, a couple things. For example, the Grand Canyon, right? We have these perfectly straight layers that you see all around. And those layers, you can trace them up to Canada. You can trace them all the way south. You can trace these everywhere, right? They go around the world. And it's showing that there's layers of sediment that were put there, and they have to be put there quickly, because if they weren't put there quickly, how do you – for example, if you have a perfectly straight layer – and that's what's deposited. And you're saying that that layer is 3.5 million years old. In that 3.5 million years, you're going to have erosion happen. You're going to have things that break down certain parts of the soil. You'll have dips. You'll have rises. You'll have valleys and hills and all sorts of things in these layers. Some of these layers, like he said, the one I think he said was 20,000 feet thick. And then other ones, you know, you see, and they might be 2-3 feet thick. And you go through all these different layers, and... but they're perfectly straight. There's no erosion.
There's a top. There's a flat.
There's a flat top
to it. Yeah.
And you go on the next one, there's a flat top. You go on the next one, there's a flat top. That doesn't happen. You don't see that happen in nature unless it happens quickly. If it happens as in the global flood did. And I think that was such a cool way that Bruce was able to kind of talk about that. But you see this evidence. You see the other thing, they talked about it in I think it's in Cookeville, Tennessee, where they have this plant that they've found that we go into, and we talked about this. I did a little thing on the dig about this, about the pre-flood environment versus the post-flood environment. The higher oxygenation, higher pressure, all these different things was positive for plant life as well as animal life, right? So we have certain plants, ferns that were the size of maple trees. You know, the ferns we see now that are knee high were the size of maple trees. There's this plant over there, and I can't remember the name of it offhand. I have a picture of it. I can post it later. But this plant normally gets about 18 inches tall, like that we have right now. Pre-flood, it was the size of a tree. And they have a replica of it out behind the museum, but it's from that Cookeville area, and it goes straight up, straight through I can't remember how many layers of that it goes through of all these different millions of years, but this one plant pierces all those layers straight up. How could that happen if it was over millions and millions, potentially a billion years? Just couldn't happen. It's impossible. So there is so much more. The science, and when we talk about it, we're going to sound like laymen at best. We're going to sound kind of like morons, especially when you actually hear what these guys have to say when we put this stuff out, when it comes out, when this documentary finally drops, and we have just the knowledge that we will put out from these guys that what they – it's just – it's stuff that you sit there and you leave and you just – you feel smart by association. Like, it's not us, but we just like, man, I know something now. That was awesome. So.
No, I think, honestly, I think it's, can you hear me? Sorry.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, no. Some of the way that they explain it, though, is it's super easy to absorb. That's the thing I like about how they've been talking, is that even on my level of understanding, because I'm not a scientist, I'm not a technical person when it comes to anything that's non-computer based, but just all of these different things, the science behind it, I mean, the way they get it to you, it makes sense. They explain it in a very easy way. Nothing contradicts, you know, natural law. It's just, it's really easy to absorb. And I think that's one of the best things about it, is that anybody's going to be able to watch this and be like, yeah, I understand that. Like, that makes sense. And it, you can't refute it. You know, it's great. It's awesome to see this research being done at such a high level and still being able to absorb the results and be like, yep, this is really cool. So I think I don't regurgitate well, but I definitely absorb what they said very well, which is awesome. So
when they're not dry either, which is nice, you know, so even Bruce today had, like you mentioned, two other speaking engagements that were at least an hour long, almost back to back, after he gave us what, an hour and a half. And so it just goes to show you, these people that we're speaking with, they're fueled by passion. They're fueled out, you know, this isn't a paycheck. This isn't a job. This isn't just something they feel like they have to do. The only time that you see people with as much passion and enthusiasm as what we've seen everybody have, not just even the ones that we've spoken to, but even the ones that seem to surround themselves around those people, you know, the scientists, everybody, even down to the lady that stopped today just to make sure that, hey, have they explained this ARC model to you? Everybody has a sense of pride about what they're doing that only just shows that they're working in their purpose. You know, and those are always my favorite kind of people to be around, because it inspires, you know, me to get into my purpose, you know, and to find the things. But that's one thing I really appreciated about Dr. Ball. And then Bruce today was awesome. You could just tell this is what he eats, sleeps, and breathes. If he was doing nothing else in the world, and what would he do for the rest of his life, no matter if money or anything, this is what he would do, no doubt about it. And you know, there was no genuine payback. I don't think that they flew in today and had, you know, lobster and filet mignon and $1 million in a suitcase to do what they were doing. I think it's just a group of people that really, really have faith in the Lord and want to show people the facts. And that's what's been really cool to me.
But I think that the coolest thing is that you're seeing it. And this is the whole point. The point of this is there's a twofold, but it's, you know, we have our faith as Christians, but I love people to have that apologetic view where they can sit there and say, these are the facts. Like, these are the things behind it. God actually leaves us a breadcrumbs all over the place to show us the truth of the flood, the truth of creation, the truth of these things. It's there. But the other part is when this comes out, when this eventually comes out, the whole thing is most of these documentaries, and I'm sure we said this last night, but most of these documentaries have such good information, but they're really built in a way that is meant for Christians just to consume them. We are trying to reach everybody else. We're trying to put something out that's going to be interesting, that's going to draw people in, that's going to hit a different demographic than these documentaries have ever hit someone before. We're going to bring some familiar information to people who are Christian, but we're going to bring some fresh stuff. We're going to bring some things that are going to blow some people's minds. And the whole goal is that we keep it on a level that is entertaining, that captures people emotionally, that captures people and their thought process, that makes people question their belief in evolution and truly is planting that seed. So God, you know, God's knocking on their heart.
I mean, I think it's even for Christians. I think, for me, this has given me a lot more reasons behind what I believe in, just period. And it's things that I wouldn't have thought about otherwise. You know, it's great. I highly encourage everybody. You should read the Bible every chance you get. You should pray without ceasing. You should do all these things. But, you know, even the Bible's not talking about some of these things that they've went on to find out. And it's kind of mind-numbing when you see it in front of you. It's like, okay, that gives me even more faith in what's going on. And it answers some of the questions that were gray areas as a Christian that, you know, as a whole, the church just skips around, right? Because some of the stuff's non-salvation things. And I think the church has a job to bring people to salvation. And so I think that we miss a lot of the lack of better terms, but the extracurriculars around the space that really are super interesting. And, you know, like, I can't tell you guys how long I've wondered how we fit everything on the ark. You know, you feel kind of guilty because you're like, God, I believe in you, but how do we get two big dinosaurs on the ark? Come on. And then you get it explained to you. Well, it was juveniles, and you didn't have to bring the mosquitoes because they lived outside, and so did the fish. And it's like, oh, yeah. You know, some of that's kind of practical things, but I had never thought about it before. You know, what'd they say, 600, 700 species of animals total that went on the ark?
7,000.
7,000?
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention in class, obviously. but either way.
The number, right? Just not the amount of zeros.
Far less than you would imagine, you know. And then just thinking, okay, yeah, so they all, through time, the same species bred into different ways and create. So you even got to see even more creation after the fact, right? God just kept creating with the species. And that's what's so cool about the creation is God just every single day, every single second, just keeps creating something new that we've never seen before and just leaves it out there for us to discover. And it kind of feels like we're on a hunt right now, which is fun.
Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. It is the glory of kings to search things out. That's the whole point, is, you know, not just in our scripture, but the breadcrumbs that God's left across this world for us. And Paul says it in Romans and says that no one has an excuse. All you have to do is look outside to know there's a creator. That's all you have to do. There's no excuse. But God conceals these things for us to find. It's these breadcrumbs that are out there. He wants us to dig into his word. He wants us to dig into his creation to show everybody this is the truth. This is what it is. This is so much greater than anything that you could ever fathom, but yet so many people still want to believe it just happened by accident.
I think that, if anything, this should push people to do research, not just blindly accept something. I mean, great, cool, but not blindly accept something like they've been blindly accepting something. You have to look at it for yourself, and you have to look into it. Like you said, you have to look at God's creation and be like, okay, where did this come from? Most people hear a name, they see somebody who is an expert in their field, you know, and they say, oh, I'm just going to accept whatever they tell me. That's blind acceptance. I really would like to know how many people out there really have put the time and effort into studying, you know, the differences between evolution and creation, and then do for themselves the research that would drive them to a specific side or an answer. And then where would they stop? But this right here, everything in here, I'm not expecting it to just bring people, you know, blindly to Christ. Honestly, I hope that it ignites an entire generation of people that have been, I'll call them TikTok researchers, where they just accept whatever they see in videos. And there's, oh, yep, that's it, it's blind. We take information in that way now. That's not how we should be doing it. You have to do the research for yourself. Research means going out and literally doing your own experiments, like literally figuring out, doing the case studies that are out there, the information and a lot of the different studies that have been done across the world on different plant life, different rock types, different species, everything. And if you don't do that and you're just going to blindly accept something, then you have no reason to be mad about somebody else's opinion at that moment. But I just really hope that it just lights a fire under people to research, to do it for themselves, instead of just accepting something as fact that is bizarre just because you don't want accountability.
Well, and you kind of miss having, I mean, can you just imagine if in any relationship, can you just imagine, you know, say, I don't know anything about my wife, right? She's my wife, but, and I know she goes to this place for work and I don't really know what she does or anything. You know, can you imagine how that relationship would just be kind of stale, you know, but with this and with going out and figuring that out, you know, it's, you know, like my kids know that I make videos and then you can even show them a video you made and that's cool. But then when you bring them to a shoot and they get to see you make a video, they sit with you during the edit, it changes the process and it deepens the relationship of, oh, wow, this is what they do. And that's kind of how I feel, you know, the past couple of days. And it's like, well, look at my Father in heaven. This is what you do. This is, I mean, I heard about it and I've seen a little bit, but like to have somebody break it down and, you know, make it irrefutable to me is super cool. It strengthens the relationship and it gives me so much more reason to love the Lord, because how incredible. I mean, and easier to trust. Look at what hands that we're in, you know, so it's easier to let go of the control, you know, or trying to take the wheel and go my own direction, or not have faith. How could I not have faith in a God that's doing all that we're seeing that he's doing? How could I not? So I mean, in a way, I probably would have agreed with you yesterday about reaching people who are non-believers, and I hope that we do, but I think reaching stale Christians are just like reaching non-believers. I don't think that you can be stale in your walk. I think that you always have to be trying to have that relationship, and Doug talks about it a lot at our church, where, you know, you may get into heaven, but you're going to show up. It's kind of like going to a birthday party and not having gifts for the person when you get there. And it's like these gifts that we have are the relationship and finding those things. And that's the incredible part of the walk with the Lord and seeing all this stuff that's, I mean, you can argue with it, but in my opinion, you would be really silly to argue with the things that we've seen in the last couple of days. Like, just right out in front of you, how do you pose an argument to that? You know, so it just makes me it makes me more excited to tell people about my dad in heaven. You know, check out what he does. Do you guys know this? That's what's really cool to me.
Put it on Daddy's tab.
Yeah, put it on Daddy's tab. Look, he's going to take care of it. Mm-hmm. That's a hat here in Texas, by the way. And offshoot, we haven't really talked about how cool Granbury, Texas has been. And what is it, Glen Rose? Mm-hmm. All the people are really friendly. All the food is really good. I'm the only person on these podcast episodes that sounds like a NASCAR pit crew talking about how the car did that day.
real fast engine that day. She ran real good. They got them tires changed fast.
Yeah, and anyway, the restaurant we went to had a put it on Daddy's tab hat, and I liked it. I still do. I might get it.
It might not have been your color, but that's all right.
It was pink. It's fun.
But
I'm going back for rib night, so you can grab it then.
There we go.
Rib night. Well, I just think that it's been another awesome day, another day of diving into just the truth of you know, creation, that, you know, it's showing everything that we see, everything that we have dug into today has again affirmed the Bible. It has again shown us that God is almighty. God is, you know, he's right there. And it's also shown me that on either side of this, whether you are a believer, and Bruce said it so good. He goes, science is never going to totally prove anything, but we use it to disprove everything.
The false.
And I thought that was such a cool way of saying it, because it's true. Like, you know, we have to have a faith in God. There are parts we won't understand. There are things that we'll never totally fathom. But when we look at the complexity of life, we look at the complexity of one strand of DNA, and then we look at how, like, the likelihood of that happening, and it is an actual mathematical impossibility. I mean, really, the argument should be done right there, mm-hmm, with the literal mathematical impossibility. But God still gives us more to look at. And we went through and looked at so many of those things in the last 2 days. But today we dug in so much more. But with Bruce saying it that way, he's like, you know, in the end, science doesn't prove evolution, but they're trying to use science to disprove God. The same way that, you know, as Christians, as creationists, it's not going to prove, you know, that God exists, but it can definitely disprove evolution. So I think it's such a cool way, because we're looking at the science. We're looking at the facts. And that's where I think this is important. And I don't disagree with you at all. I think that this is definitely going to strengthen believers as well. But the problem that I've always seen is that these are made strictly for a set group. It's very niche. It's always been, you know, here, you know, this is for you, you know, look up Noah's Ark, and, you know, and this is, it just, it's a based for just Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, Christians don't like being argued with, in large part.
They don't. You're right. Well, you're
they
right.
Don't like anything being challenged.
Because it's hard for them if they don't have that apologetic point of view.
Sure.
This is, the whole point of this is not just for Christians, but it is going to give them something in their tool belt. So when someone asks them, listen, this is why I believe in this, and I can tell you my faith side, and I can tell you my this is the scientific reason why I believe that. I mean, that's the whole point, right? And that's where I think this is going to reach people on the other side, the people on the atheists, or people who are believe in other belief systems, because it's the same way that Dr. Baugh, that Bruce Malone, evolutionists at one time, they saw the facts, they saw the truth, and that's what brought them over. And all that did was show them there's a creator. And then in the end, what does God do? He plants that seed, then boom. These guys become some of the biggest proponents for creation, for our God. And the witness and the testimony those guys have is amazing.
Well, I mean, everything, you know, like you said, everything that they are able to prove without a doubt makes it so much easier to accept what they can't prove. Mm-hmm. Right? You see all these things, and if the only thing that you have to accept after that is that God is outside of time, space, and matter, came here to die for our sins, like, look at everything else that has been proven to you. And even if you struggle with believing that part, that should back it up. You should be like, well, okay, well, even if I'm struggling to accept that, look at everything that I'm not struggling to accept that I have this proof of. And then, okay, I can put my faith out there. I mean, look at everything else God has done. Why couldn't he do that?
In the beginning, something came from nothing. It's your choice to believe whether that was accidental or there's a creator. And when we get done with this and we put this documentary out, I hope that it strengthens your faith and shows you how, on a either way, you have to have faith to believe either side of that. you either have to have faith to believe that something came from nothing, because that's a miracle on its own. It's a literal mathematical impossibility, so that's a miracle. Or you have to look and say, God did create this. What's more likely? What are the chances?
I'm going to say, spoiler alert again, 0%.
Dang it, dude.
I find it much easier, especially after the last 2 days, to put my faith in the Lord and not in a monkey or nature or whatever. So much easier to accept. There's so many more reasons to accept that as truth than there are to try to argue against it. And I think if you can get to that point, then you have a kind of a softened heart and an open mind, and then I think the Lord can speak to you, and, you know, he can tell you the rest. He can make that real in your life, and that's something that's so deeply personal between each of us and the Lord, and the way that he does that, that, you know, you don't want somebody trying to prove that relationship to you. Can you imagine having somebody tell you how your marriage should be and how you should communicate and all this stuff? You know, that just doesn't make sense. That's a personal thing. And all these things make it so much easier to not just have a relationship, but to desire to learn more, to know more, to, you know, get to know in what little bit of time that we have here, who is this person that we're going to spend eternity with? And how exciting is that, that we get to? And if we can be so amazed and struck with awe on this side, what's it going to be like when we get to the other side? You know, it's so I can't even imagine, like, we're finding out incredible things here. I can't imagine what we're going to find out when we get to heaven. You know, how incredible is that going to be?
You guys have anything else you want to point out about today?
No.
No?
I want to save it for the documentary.
I did tell Mike to cut a camera today about 2 seconds before the whole thing was over, so that was cool.
But you never really do know, though.
If in case you guys wanted more pit crew updates.
Like, beep, beep. And that was my presentation.
Well, good. I caught the last word right before he said that. No, yeah. He sounded like he could have gone for a lot longer, though.
Yeah, so I mean, if you guys are listening to this, I mean, the car ran good today. Pray for us tomorrow. We're going to race hard. Hopefully we don't run out of fuel. Memory cards. We level our tripods. You know, all the things.
Make balance. Sure the data stays backed up.
White balance. We're going to back up the cards. We're going to make sure that we're in focus, because we're not out here using autofocus like the cheaters do. We're actually out here shooting.
With some skills.
With some skills. Let me not get too cocky. We've not looked at the footage from today. It could be bad.
This documentary may just be for TV only. We don't know.
You might just have to imagine it from this podcast, how it went.
Well, thank you guys for tuning in, and I hope you're getting as excited as we are for this to come out. It is one step closer each day. We have 2 more days of filming, 1 more day of just tomorrow. We have 1 more interview. We're going to be at the Institute of Creation Research with Dr. Tim Clary. It's going to be pretty amazing. And then the following day, we're going to be doing some shooting around the area with some of the rock formations and some of the other things that we are actually really pretty blessed to be in this area with everything that's here, because we're able to do so much. We don't know how much shooting we'll have to do in the future and how much more will come out of it. But just really excited and really grateful that you guys are on this journey with us. And it's going to be, just know that you're listening right now, that this is going to be something special. I mean, God put this on us for a reason. And it's, you know, we can always say it's going to reach one that makes it all worth it. But I truly think this is going to reach millions of people.